to Dear Hank and John.
Or as I prefer to think of it, Dear John and Hank.
It's a podcast where I forget to push record on the button, but at least I only did it for about 3 minutes.
3 critical minutes. Y'all missed some gold because Hank failed to hit record.
We're gonna give you some dubious advice, bring you all the week's news from both Mars and AFC Wimbledon. John, once upon a time,
yes,
there was a guy sitting next to his wife in church, and he said, "I just did a silent fart. What should I do?" And she said, "Put some new batteries in your hearing aid."
It was so funny the first time, but the second time I found it less funny. So we just recorded part of the podcast, and Hank didn't record it. And that's okay. I'm not mad.
What do you call a caveman's fart?
What I liked about the joke, by the way, is that it was a joke. It was a joke with a punchline, and the punchline wasn't just a rhyme of mm-hmm. another word.
Right.
That's what I liked. So is this joke a joke, or is it a pun?
It's a blast from the past. It was really
bad. God, sneezing isn't normal. I never sneeze. I think it every single time I sneeze. I think every time about the doctor never sneezer Scrooge.
Yeah.
And it's astonishing the power he has over me, this person I've never met and never will meet.
What if it wasn't real? Because it seems unreal.
It doesn't seem unreal to me. I bet there's a doctor out there who's an allergist. Mm-hmm. Are you checking to see if you're recording?
Yeah,
are you
recording? Going this, how's I'm going my, now. Levels look good.
Listen, y'all, you need to know two things. The first is that Hank and I are in real life together. And the second is that we are going to try an experimental, one-time-only format for this podcast in which Hank puts away his laptop, which is the hardest thing for him to do in the world. Hold on, I'm going to check. He's on Google. I thought I was going to catch you on Twitter or TikTok. It's certainly not impossible. Let me know when you're done Googling, and I will... If you're Googling a dad joke, by the way, I'm going to...
No, I'm trying... I was thinking I could do that Wired interview thing where I ask you questions from Google if you type in John Green.
Oh, I hate that.
And it says, like, John Green...
Is John Green a Christian? Is John Green dead? Is John Green gay? I know all the questions.
Related to Hank Green is number two.
Well, what's number one?
Christian.
Yes.
Married, religious.
Yes. Yes.
From Crash Course, the author?
Yes.
Alive?
Yes.
Still alive?
Yes.
A Democrat?
Yes.
The Crash Course guy?
Yes. I mean, they only ask things they already sort of know that they're trying to confirm.
Writing a new book?
Yes. Yes. I mean, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What we're going to do is Hank's going to put away his laptop.
Okay.
Oh, God, it feels so good to be in the room with Hank when he's not looking at a screen.
I wanted to know things about you.
Which of those things were you surprised to learn? Out of curiosity.
The Crash Course guy?
You didn't know I was the Crash Course guy?
The guy who wrote The Fault in Our Stars and the Crash Course guy are the same John Green?
Same guy.
It's wild.
It's also weird for me. You know?
Like, yeah. People are like, I love your work. And I'm like, I have no idea what that means.
I have no idea what I'm doing on this planet. I think that might be...
That's pretty typical.
I know, but I think that might be the key to our success so far, is that we're the only advice podcasters who know nothing about being alive. Other advice podcasters... Mm-hmm.
They think they know something.
They're experts.
But they're wrong.
Well, they may be wrong or right. I don't know, because I don't know anything about being alive.
Being in the room with you is giving me a lot of respect for Tuna, who has to make us sound the same level of loud, while I scream the whole time.
Yeah, I just talk in a normal human voice.
I need to bring it down, especially in this circumstance where he can't adjust that.
We're doing fine.
Well, I've been pretty loud. I'm going to try and be a normal man now.
You still sound a little performative.
Yeah.
I can always
podcast.
Right. That's true. We don't want to sound totally like ourselves. People will get bored. What we're going to do today is we're not going to answer any listener questions. We're going to try something else. We're going to try to have a conversation.
I'm nervous.
Like we would usually have.
Sometimes.
And we'll start with a prompt.
John is in charge, because I was going to do the thing where I asked you Google questions, but you made me put my computer away and I'm lost without a connection to the internet.
No, you're not. We've had a bunch of conversations over the last week where you didn't have a screen.
Didn't last an hour.
They totally did.
Wow.
And they were great. They're so much better than screen conversations. Like the conversation you have with somebody when you're both kind of on TikTok, mm-hmm. it's just not a very good high quality conversation.
No, definitely not.
And so I'm asking you to have a high quality conversation with me about a deep prompt. Not like a small talky, is John Green an author, but a deep prompt.
And do you have one in mind?
I do.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Do you think that a hot dog...
He's starting to smile, you guys.
Is a sandwich?
You didn't have one in mind.
Do you think a hot dog is a sandwich?
You didn't have one in mind.
Do you think that a hot dog is a taco?
You know, John...
I hate those questions. So
in my phone, I have a list of ideas for videos. Do you want to do one of those?
Yeah, let's do one of those.
Okay.
I just want to have a normal conversation. That's my goal. I think people, you know what I want to talk about first?
Yeah.
I want to talk about why you don't want to own 8% of AFC Wimbledon.
Well, I've told you this because I will be more sad when they lose. And I'm already quite sad when they lose.
Yeah.
And I don't like that I'm sad when a thing that I can't control happens. Especially when it happens quite a lot. Did you know that when I was in high school, I stole a lemur from a zoo?
Oh my God. I know the bit.
So that's what I want to talk about.
People ask me about the bit every day.
I'm interested in talking about the time that I stole a lemur from a zoo when I was in high school.
Yeah. So...
Yeah.
Can we talk about how it happened?
Yeah.
Okay. That's,
yeah, we want to start there.
One fine morning in summer, someone posted a TikTok that said, we should start a rumor that Hank Green stole a lemur from a zoo when he was in high school.
Yeah.
And lots of people watched the TikTok and they thought, this is funny.
Yeah.
But the problem with these jokes is that there is no way out of them when you are the butt of the joke. There is no way to survive the joke.
You got it. But before we move up to there, we have to tell the whole story of what happened.
Okay.
So then he made the video where he was like, Hank Green, we should make a rumor about Hank Green stealing the lemur.
Yeah.
Which is a harmless rumor. Like,
right. Of the rumors that could have been started. The rumors that could have been started about you is pretty harmless.
Yeah.
Also, I have to say, having known you in high school, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Like, I would have, I think you might have called it liberating a lemur rather than stealing
something
a lemur.
Something like that. Yeah.
But I could see you trying to free a lemur from its Floridian prison.
Maybe.
Not really. I can't, actually.
No.
It's on the far edge.
But I can see people's thinking what they know of me, thinking that that is a thing that could happen.
Yes. On the edge of
it. Hank Green seems to like attention.
Right.
He seems to be interface with the world of science communication. The Kratt brothers had a lemur.
Right.
So maybe they knew each other in 1998.
Maybe Hank Green stole the Kratt brothers.
Yeah, Zaboomafoo. Maybe I stole Zaboomafoo.
I'm sorry. I forgot the name of the lemur.
So I didn't steal Zabu. But then, so after he did that, he made another video where he created, and this is the reason it actually became a rumor.
Right.
He created a fake Orlando Sentinel news article that had a picture of me from high school.
Right.
And then it had like a story about like high school boys steals lemur.
Right.
And like I looked at that and I was like, well, I know that I didn't steal a lemur in high school, but like I could get how you would see that picture.
The first time I saw that TikTok, my initial response, and I think this says a lot about like the state of misinformation and fact checking and everything.
Yeah.
My initial response was, oh my God. I feel like I know every time the Orlando Sentinel mentioned Hank, and I also feel like this wouldn't have gone unnoticed in our family.
Yeah, it would be a thing that we still talk about. Yeah.
But it was compelling enough that even as your brother, I was like, for a nanosecond, I had to do some lateral reading, and so I went over to, you know, like a
did you lateral read?
I always lateral read.
Well, but it was my actual life.
Exactly. So I went over to Google and I was like, did Hank Green steal a lemur?
Yeah.
And I actually searched the Orlando Sentinel's archive for Hank Green lemur and nothing came up. And I was like, I think it's fake. And that also makes sense. While I was at boarding school, I feel like the news might have trickled in.
Yeah. So it makes a little bit of sense that you wouldn't know because we didn't live together at that point. So then that post went much more viral than the original post where he said, let's make a rumor about
Hank
Green. But if you like went to his profile and swiped one video, you'd see the video where he admits that it's not real.
No, you didn't have to do that much lateral reading, but you had to do a little bit.
Yeah. But so like there was a combination of TikTok's algorithm doing its thing and people being on board with the joke, sharing the information.
Yeah.
But it did end up with people legitimately thinking, and maybe even some people now legitimately believing, that I stole a lemur.
Right.
And I think that that's very interesting. And I think that it's, I'm grateful that it's stealing a lemur, which right. is something that I wouldn't be super ashamed of having done when I was 18.
Right.
Like, it's certainly not something that I would be right. like, all 18-year-olds should steal lemurs.
Right.
But
there
know.
Is this phenomenon where...
But there's no way out.
There's no way out. Like, where some moderately famous or very famous person mm-hmm. Gets attached to a copypasta, or gets attached to a rumor, or gets... Or actually does something that they shouldn't have done. Mm-hmm. And it becomes this sort of, like, defining feature of their life, even though... It, you know, like, we should see it in a broader context.
Yeah.
But the lemur thing especially is interesting to me, because there is something about it that captures the core of misinformation on the internet, which is that it has to be sticky. It has to be on the edge of believability. Mm-hmm. It has to be a little ludicrous.
Yeah.
And it has to be vaguely conspiratorial. Like,
right,
it has
right,
to be,
right.
it has to be, this has been hidden from you all this time.
Yeah, of course.
It has to be spicy. Mm-hmm. Like, I just deleted a TikTok, which, by the way, I really recommend. But one of the most liked comments on the TikTok was about this thing that happened in Athens 2,400 years ago. But don't worry, that doesn't stop people from applying it to today. Uh-huh. And the most, one of the most liked comments on this video was, how can you say that anything has changed in terms of the militarization of nation states and empires when the United States spends the same percentage of its GDP, it was a condensed version of this, spends the same percentage of its GDP on the military as France did in the 18th century. And I was like, that is shocking. Like, that is astonishing
right.
to me.
Yeah, that was that was a big problem. That's all they did. That's the entire thing that the government spent money on.
And I was like, wow, like, that's really surprising to me, because, like, in a mercantilist era,
yeah.
Which Europe was in at that time, like, it was thought that the only way you could get richer was basically by plunder.
Yeah.
And the only way for your state to become wealthy was to impoverish other states. And so I was like, wow, that's really shocking to me. And they're right that my premise is totally wrong.
If they're right.
Yeah, well, which I assumed they were because of the level of confidence, you know? Yeah. And the fact that it was stated as such a fact. Mm-hmm. And then I looked it up, and actually the U.S. spends 3% of its GDP on the military, and 18th century France spent about 55% of its GDP on the military.
Oh my God.
So it's wrong. Like, that's the reason it that surprised does, me 50, so much.
55% does seem like a problem. That seems yeah. like too much.
It was too much. By the way, 3.3% is also too much.
Yeah.
But 55% was definitely too much.
Yeah.
Right? So
it'd be tricky to spend 55% of our GDP on the military.
Well, you got to remember that healthcare spending was very low.
Yeah. So was all of the other. So everything spending.
Yeah. Public education yeah, spending was extremely low.
Food.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
food
a lot of that exactly. going on. Just very little food in general
during
that period.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Cause some problems.
55% military, 45% really bad bread.
Yeah, bread with wood in it.
There was so much sawdust in 18th century European bread. This world that should have been stupidly rich mm-hmm. from all of the places it had plundered, still had this, like, massive, shocking levels of wealth inequality.
Yeah.
Shocking, actually.
I don't think that that's... They didn't do it to make the peasants' lives better.
Right. But the point is that you stealing a lemur and France in the 18th century spending 3% of its GDP on the military have something in common,
right.
which is that they are... very compelling fictions. Mm-hmm. They would sort of vaguely affirm and at the same time problematize something that I believe, but in an extremely simple way.
But also a surprising way.
Right.
It's like
simple, but surprising. It's surprising enough, in character enough,
mm-hmm.
Affirms something right.
surprising,
else
Surprising, but
enough.
In character. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, there is just... I mean, misinformation researchers talk a ton about the tropes that we have set up in our minds and how different things can be both shocking but also unsurprising.
Right.
Which it, is, a, yes. like, a, it's sort of a wild yes. thing, but that's how
right.
all of these things work so well, is when they right. really truly shock you, but then right. also somehow you're not surprised at all.
And the really unfortunate thing, right, is that deep down, we all look for that stuff.
Right.
Like when I'm on Twitter, I want that. I want that moment where I'm like, oh my God, mm-hmm. that's amazing, incredible, horrifying, terrible, outrageous, stunning.
But it also confirms my priors.
Exactly. But also allows me to say, I've been trying to tell you.
And then when it turns out to not be true, you're like, well, but it might as well be.
Right. That's
And I've had people say that to me while sitting in the room with me.
I've thought it. Yeah. And so I absolutely understand people responding that way.
Yeah.
When it turns out that, you know, this nefarious conspiracy theory doesn't hold up to scrutiny, mm-hmm. but they would have if they could.
Yeah.
Or it would have been in character, or he might as well have done that.
Yeah, or this other thing that did happen is quite similar.
Right, yes.
To me.
Hank
it's
Green,
not exactly the same.
That's right, right.
But it's quite similar.
That's true.
It's not as bad, but it's very similar.
Yeah, like Hank Green maybe didn't steal a lemur in high school, but he was pretty goth.
I mean, only when romance necessitated such.
The thing is, I was actually much more goth than Hank in high school. It's just that there's no pictures of it on the internet because I'm...
Well, I don't think that you, like... indulge in the aesthetic as much as I did.
I wore a ton of eye makeup, but okay. I didn't take a ton of pictures of myself in eye makeup.
I wore a lot of eye makeup on my lips because that was the only option to get the black lipstick. I so I just put eyeliner on my lips.
I wore black lipstick sometimes, but it was given to me by Barbara.
Yeah.
You probably didn't go to school with Barbara.
No, yeah. Doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah.
Sounds like an old adult.
No, she was a kid. She yep. was a kid. She was cool. I mean,
yeah.
Real goth.
They were all cool.
Oh, she was so cool.
They were.
Yeah, I really wanted
to
date her.
Honestly, my goth phase is less embarrassing than my Rush phase, which was also because of a girl. I found out she was into Rush, and I learned so many Rush songs by heart, and that's forever. I did that to myself forever. Like, goth is just a picture on the internet.
Right.
Roll the Bones is in my head now.
Yeah.
I could do the bad rap for you.
There's so many...
I won't.
I don't even know. Is Rush a band?
Yes.
Great. I don't know anything about them.
They were great, but they made some mistakes.
Sure. Like the rest of us.
Yeah.
I think this is a productive line of conversation to transition away from misinformation on the internet, which we're opposed to and have absolutely no tools to solve except on an individual level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do not have a social... solution. The individual solution is lateral reading and quickly confirming that Hank Green did not steal a lemur
yeah.
and then responding to like the growth of the rumor by saying, I'm not sure that this is the most productive use of our shared consciousness.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, like there's so much more to be more worried about that I almost encourage people to not care that much about trying to confirm something until it's really in you and making you feel a lot of feelings that might
right
like that's
if it's starting to change you.
I'm so good at fact checking things that definitely seem wrong to me.
Right.
I'm great at that.
Right.
But I'm bad at fact checking stuff that seems right to me.
Everyone is.
Yeah.
Right.
Because no, I mean, I'm putting that on myself.
Yeah.
In order to make it relatable. Like yeah. we all do that thing.
Yeah. Why would you stop to fact check something that totally makes sense to you?
Yeah.
The moment you fact check is the moment you're like, huh, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
But the things that means that all the things that do seem right that are incorrect
mm-hmm.
flow through you as facts.
Yes. Yeah. And I've even fact checked some of those things like out loud
mm-hmm.
and gotten a lot of criticism for it.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, but don't we want to think the true thing here?
Right.
Like I recently saw a tweet that said that Bitcoin consumed or produced more carbon dioxide than all natural gas electricity generation.
Mm.
And I was like, well, that's definitely wrong.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a Bitcoin fan, but
right.
I do know enough about how like carbon is produced.
Right.
And also how Bitcoin produces carbon, which is by consuming electricity.
Right.
To know that that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And indeed, it was not a true fact. Right. But it had gotten a lot of... And so, like, in my response where I fact-check it,
yeah.
I had to be so, like, overtly anti-crypto.
Right.
To yeah, be like, yeah. I also, just yeah. so everybody knows, I hate crypto. But if you get in a conversation and you say that Bitcoin's worse for the environment than all natural gas production combined, you're going to look like a dope.
Yeah.
And no one's ever going to take you seriously.
Right,
again.
Yeah.
That's not going to be good for us.
Yeah. I don't agree with Henry Kissinger. And also, we spend less of our GDP on the military than 18th century France did.
Yeah. Like, I'm not in favor of our current military spending, but
don't put me in a situation where I've got to be on Henry Kissinger's side. I don't want to be there. That's not fun for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is difficult.
I don't know a societal way to handle it. I only know individual ways to handle it.
And I don't even know great individual ways to handle
it. It's hard for me to do. And it's like a muscle I try to flex all the time.
Let's transition to our most embarrassing high school phases.
Because
it couldn't have been Rush.
No. I think that my most embarrassing high school moment was when I ran out of gas in the Volvo.
Yes.
And I had all the makeup on.
Yeah.
And mom had to come get us.
Yeah.
And she was mad. And then she saw me, despite the fact that I tried to, like, eat all of the lipstick off my lips.
Oh, yeah.
And...
Well, why is that embarrassing, though? You're just wearing makeup. You're allowed to wear makeup.
It was very embarrassing.
I'm sure. Maybe it was at the time, but, like, current you shouldn't be embarrassed of that.
No, you're right. What, I'm not. I've run out of gas other times that were way more embarrassing because I was a grown-up.
Oh. I ran out of gas maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I called Sarah from the side of the road, and I was like, something's wrong with the car.
Right.
And Sarah was like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, for a while it was kind of like just making a weird noise. And
right,
kind of
like I was pushing,
intermittently
that's what it feels
working.
Like. Yeah.
And then it just stopped working completely. So I guess I got to call AAA and she was like, is there gas in the car? And I was like, well, how do I know?
It's off.
It's off. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. We'll never know now.
I ran out of gas in the tour van while we were on tour with the Perfect Strangers, like at an interchange.
Yeah. Yeah, that's brutal.
There wasn't a shoulder.
That's brutal.
We were stopped in a lane.
No cursing.
It was so bad. That was way more embarrassing to me today than anything I did in high school.
No, I'm talking about,
I was a kid.
I'm not talking about what you found mortifying in high school. I'm talking about when you look back at high school or college, what is mortifying now?
I think that I
bet your answer is that I have no mortifications.
No.
Because I'm very pleased with myself. I've done great the whole time.
Well, I'm quite forgiving to that person.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Who didn't have a ton of experience. And
right.
But I think that I thought a lot of really simple things about what I should do with my life that me now is like, ugh.
I had a lot of very straightforward, easy solutions for very complex problems.
Yeah.
And you were
I wrote the speeches I would give when I was president.
Oh, wow. That's about as cringe
as we're going to get here today.
That's not as bad as the thing that we can't talk about, but it's close to as bad as the thing we can't talk about.
You brought up embarrassing high school and college stuff, and yet I can't talk about the most embarrassing thing because you won't let me.
It must stay secret forever. There are some things, you know what?
There's like two levels to it, too. Like, there's the level where, like...
We don't have to get into it.
And then there's the other level.
The more we get into it, the more it seems like we're, like, teasing something that we will reveal in the future. And I want to be absolutely clear about something. We will not reveal this in the future. And I mean we, because... It also reflects poorly on me, and I know that you don't worry about I know it does in the sense that now I'm your closest collaborator professionally.
Okay, I see.
I don't want to be in a situation where somebody asks me the equivalent of "Did Hank Green ever steal a lemur in high school?" Except it's true, and I have to talk about it. I just don't want to do that. I don't want to be in that. I just don't want to go there. My cringiest. I mean, I did definitely have that. Like, I thought we should go back to being hunter-gatherers, right? Like, I read, like, a lot of, like, Kurt Vonnegut, and I was, like, foraging was the right path for humans and agriculture was a massive mistake and we should go back. And now, these days, I'm aware of the fact that that's a pretty bold statement for me to make as somebody who would have definitely died before the age of five. So who am I to say that I would have enjoyed that life better when I wouldn't have enjoyed it at all?
Yeah. But, alternatively, watching all of your children die, the majority of your children die before they hit five.
Yeah.
Those are the two choices. Either you don't make it
right
to having children,
right,
or you watch the majority of your children die.
Yes, but in the case of my particular incredibly strong genetics...
Right, you don't think you're probably going to make it.
No, I mean, frankly, our whole bloodline would never have made it to anywhere near me.
Yeah, the not being able to see is a problem.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of other stuff as well. Like, yeah. But the thing that I find cringiest when I look back, I guess like more like late high school, early college, is like the way I hated stuff.
Yeah.
More than the way I liked stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't look back and say like, oh my God, I loved Rush so much. It was embarrassing.
Right.
I look back and I say, oh my God, I hated something that was fine. or that was like not fine, but not...
Right.
I didn't need to define myself in opposition to it.
Right.
I didn't need to be like, you know what sucks? Sweet Valley High.
Right. Yeah, I continue to hear this, but there is the thing that people said when I was in high school was like, what kind of music do you like?
Yeah.
People would say everything but rap and country.
Right.
Which to me is the worst.
It's a bad answer.
That's a bad answer. Like, that says way more about you than you think it does.
And it says way more about you than it says about rap or country,
yeah,
which are both extremely diverse musical genres.
Yeah.
Like, you can't... saying you don't like rap, and I know that I'm a little biased on this topic. By the way, you know how... this is coming back around, but I just want to tell you this brief anecdote. So... I like 10 years ago had a YouTube account that where I had all my music because I am the last user of YouTube Music. Yeah. It comes free with YouTube Premium.
Yeah.
It's Spotify, but not quite as good, but it is free.
Not quite as good?
Well, I don't know.
So much worse.
I don't know how good Spotify is
yeah.
because I've never had it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I will thank you not to judge me. I'm not listening to music on compact disc. I'm just using YouTube Music. So I had this YouTube Music account. And at some point, somehow the accounts merged with Crash Course.
Yeah.
So now, all my music is in unlisted playlists at youtube.com/Crash Course.
Yeah.
And a couple weeks ago, somebody...
It's like weird music. John likes weird music.
I like really good music, but it's definitely not the music you would think that I would like. Like, based on... let's say this. If all of my playlists leaked, there would be a level of, like, I can't believe Hank Green stole a lemur from a zoo, right? Like, I listen to music that's different from the music that, like...
Yeah, I actually saw that because it turned out my Spotify playlists were public.
Right.
And there was a little moment of people being like, why does Hank Green have... this on his playlist.
Yeah. And I was like, that's super private for me. I know people like there's Spotify influencers or whatever, but for me it's very private. Anyway, I somehow made one of them public.
Oh, no. A Crash Course channel.
And somebody like on the Crash Course subreddit was like, hey, has anybody else noticed? Has anybody else noticed that, like, Crash Course listens to, like, a pretty shocking amount of, like, Black Thought and Snow the Product and, like, Polish hip-hop music from the 1990s? And this is some pretty weird stuff. Like, are they doing a Crash Course on, like...
the history of European hip-hop?
The global hip-hop scene in 1997? Like, what's going on here? But anyway, it's true for music, but for me it was mostly true for books, right? Because when I was a teenager, I defined myself so much as, like, a literary person, even though I failed English, so, like, I wasn't, like... But that was also part of my identity, which I look back and find extremely cringy, mm-hmm. that I define myself as like somebody who didn't live up to their potential, mm-hmm. as the smartest D student you're ever going to meet kind of thing. And that this was like, that's what made me cool in my mind. Mm-hmm. But of course, it didn't. And it was destructive, and it could have been catastrophic if I hadn't had incredibly supportive teachers. But like the books that I hated... Many of them were pretty good, actually. Yeah. Like Gatsby. Mm-hmm. I hated Gatsby. I wrote this like paper in high school that was all about how Gatsby is irrelevant because it's about the problems of rich people, which is just fundamentally so deeply, profoundly, intensely wrong. You know? Yeah. It's like when you go into a book and you've sort of already decided.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I
or you go into music and you've sort of already decided.
I didn't have that as much with media, but I did have it with people. Because my school had so many different like kinds of people, and like resented the popular kids so much.
Yes.
That I hated them. And
oh yeah. Until I got to boarding school, like I thought jocks, like by which I mean people who played sports for their high school team, were fundamentally different. Period.
Kinds of people.
They were people. Why would I ever speak to them?
Yeah.
And why, indeed, would they ever speak to me? Mm-hmm. And they also seemed to feel the same way, to be fair. Yep. Like, there was a sort of universal agreement. And maybe that's because when you're at a big public school, there's, like, too many people.
And you can't even have an interaction. You can't even have, like... Right. Like status hierarchy between them. Yeah. It's just like maybe different.
Maybe you just have separate, to like just say like, I don't know anything about you.
Yeah.
And I can't bother to learn. And so I choose to have this stereotype of you as a jock.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's helpful to me because then I don't have to engage with you on a human level. Mm-hmm. But then when I went to boarding school and there's 52 kids in my class, so like most of them were athletes of some kind.
Right.
I myself was on the ultimate frisbee team. And so... So then I was like, oh, it turns out that like people are people, and sometimes they're cool and sometimes they're less cool.
And sometimes they throw balls good.
Right. And throwing a ball really, really well doesn't much impact your quality of personhood either way. Yeah. It's not really a big plus or a big minus.
Yeah, it might mean some things.
Yeah.
Maybe work hard. Like you have a work ethic.
You wake up early, right?
You're an earlier riser than me.
That's my main conclusion.
We might not see each other as much because you have to go to bed before 2.
I remember in college, Kenyon College had one of the best Division III swimming teams in the country. It was the only sport that we were good at, and we won like 25 consecutive Division III national titles or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember... like the fundamental difference between me and the swimmers was not intellectual or emotional or anything like that. It was that since they were 5 years old, they'd woken up at 5:30 in the morning and chosen to get into a pool, which meant that they had like a level of like discipline and work ethic that was not even imaginable to me. I can't even wake up at 5:30 once, let alone every morning.
The only thing that has ever gotten me up at 5:30 is 2.
Yeah.
Flights.
Yeah.
And a child.
Yeah, I guess for me there is a third, but it's true raw panic, right?
Okay. Which is what flights and children inspire so often.
If I wake up and I'm if I go to bed really, really anxious, sometimes I'll wake up at 5:30 in the morning.
Yes, at this point, yes.
But man, in college, I was not going to get up at 5:30. It was a struggle to get to a 9 o'clock class.
I would love to get to the point in my life where I feel like I can sleep in again.
Yeah.
That's not really a child thing for me right now, though that's part of it.
Yeah.
But even when I'm like traveling.
It's a work thing, a life thing.
I'm too anxious to sleep in.
Right.
Which is not my vibe.
No.
Apparently it is. It is the life I'm living.
Well, we all contain multitudes, Hank. And just as your vibe... Your like public persona is as a sane person, which is very rare, and so it's extremely countercultural. You also, you know, you have anxiety and like get overwhelmed and like life can be extremely stressful even if you don't have an anxiety disorder.
Right.
It can induce tremendous amounts of anxiety. And similarly, I like really good music. And people would think that I probably only like the Mountain Goats, although I do love the Mountain Goats.
And, you have a shirt that says that.
And and only listen to, like, I don't know, like Iron and Wine or whatever. But
I don't know what that is, but that's fine.
But I like all kinds of good music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you accidentally leaked it, which is adorable. Which reminds me of this podcast brought to you by the Accidental Leaked Crash Course playlist, the biggest scandal of 2022. It's got some big contenders, but it definitely wins out.
Today's podcast is also, of course, brought to you by the lemur from the Kratt Brothers.
Zaboomafoo.
The Kratt Brothers lemur. Hope those guys are doing all right.
They just followed me on TikTok.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like they look and have vibes similar to us.
I would love to hang out with the Kratt Brothers.
I'd be fascinated to know where their
lives
have gone.
If you are a Kratt Brother, hit me up on TikTok. And this podcast is also brought to you by the big old Rush hit, Roll the Bones.
Are they like a rock band?
Yeah.
That's one genre. That's actually, I like all kinds of music except for rock.
Carve that out. Everything from the Beach Boys to Bowie. It's out.
That's right. No. Dylan, no. Not interested.
Coldplay, also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is rock still happening? It kind of seems like it is.
I think The Weeknd
kind
of makes rock music.
If it's got a snare drum, it's rock.
I like The Weeknd a lot. Do you listen to The Weeknd at all?
No.
Okay. It seemed from the way you answered it that you aren't sure who The Weeknd is.
I can picture him walking through a maze of the Super Bowl.
That was the first time you'd ever seen The Weeknd or heard any of the songs.
I know the music. I listen to music weirdly.
Yeah.
Which is that I love a song.
Right.
And then I love another song.
Right.
And that will happen. I will love, over the course of a year, maybe 6 songs.
Really? Oh, wow.
And I will love them very much and very deeply.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why you were able to play As It Was so well at our show without much practice.
This year, yeah.
That's a good song. It's got an incredible hook.
It's so simple.
But
it's still not.
Yeah, yeah,
the production makes it not simple in a really interesting way.
Yeah, it's a cool song. Yeah. Also, today's podcast is brought to you by John's Paper About the Great Gatsby. John's Paper About the Great Gatsby, high-quality literary analysis.
Still ashamed. We also have a Project for Awesome message. This is from Alex to the 2011-2015 Grand Valley State University Nerdfighters.
Wow.
Oh, that was a while ago. Greetings, former GVSU Nerdfighters. While it's been many years since we had a meeting, I still miss you all. You all helped create an open and accepting environment at our club that made every good week better and every bad week more bearable. Your support and kindness made me more confident and helped shape the kind of person I am now. Thank you for everything. Your former president, Alex.
That's
really
sweet.
Cool.
That is,
we don't
so
ever
cool.
We have absolutely no control over whether there are
college fighter clubs.
Yeah, and thus it always kind of surprises me that they exist out there.
And it's a lovely thing.
Yeah.
What college clubs were you part of? Any?
You know, probably.
I was in a sketch comedy group.
Yeah.
And we wrote with Ransom Riggs.
Yep.
Now the author of Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, and also many of my other friends from college, and we had a great time.
Yeah. I watched one of your shows once. It was like somebody filmed it somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it had some jokes that were a little off color.
Well, we were family-friendly comedy, actually. We didn't curse. I really enjoyed being in the sketch comedy group, made a lot of friends. I wasn't in a ton of this is going to surprise you, Hank. I'm not much of a joiner.
Yeah, I did college radio.
Oh, that's cool.
So we had Catherine and I actually had a radio show.
Oh, was it like an advice show?
No. We just played songs that we liked.
Oh, okay.
And
you played the 6 songs that you liked at that moment?
It was actually a problem because like week number 8, it was like, so would you like to hear these same 20 songs again? Which, I mean, is a lot of how radio works.
Yeah. Right. I mean, there's a number of stations in Indianapolis where that is the driving identity of the station, is there's 20 songs and we're going to play them in order.
Other than that, we played a lot of Tetris.
Yeah.
So we might have been in a Tetris club if it had existed.
Right.
But we played a lot of Tetris.
Yeah.
But a lot of Smash Brothers.
Do you know what your NES Tetris high score is?
We played the N64 Golden Silver Block Tetris, where you could build blocks and get extra points.
Yeah.
So no, but we were quite good at it.
Yeah.
I was not good at Smash Brothers, but I thought I was, because back then, you didn't know how good everybody else was.
Right.
You just knew how good your friends were.
Right. And you're just mashing buttons most of the time anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not in a lot of clubs now, and I wasn't in a lot of clubs then. I did play a lot of this video game called Ken Griffey Baseball.
Oh, wow.
Where, over time, my friend Scott and I built the... Mostly, we didn't actually play the game. We just engaged in trades against the computer's artificial intelligence that over time you could get like a fractional improvement.
Yeah, you're like trading paper clips for cars.
Yeah,
but against an AI that is really dumb.
Right. So eventually you have every good baseball player on your baseball team and you can just like win like 150-0 every
game. It's amazing. Like, they build the system where you feel validated through your actions.
Yes.
I had the same situation with a game called Sim Farm,
where
you had a farm, and then you could sell your crops, but you could also sell futures. And so I'd watch the futures market, and there would always, every year, be a day, and it was a random day, when the price just doubled for no reason.
Yeah.
And I'd sell my strawberries futures on that day and feel like a genius, even though it happens every year, once a year.
Right.
And then I could get so many more sheep or whatever.
Yeah. And then I would always think like, wow, we really cracked this game. But of course, that's exactly how they designed it.
Yeah, and they're
they designed it
you
to
continued
break.
To play.
So yeah, they're like, let me get this straight. So you played 500,000 hours
and
of Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball. who won?
Yeah.
you tell me. Yeah, it's true. You won 72 consecutive World Series, and I'm proud of you. But we got $59.
Yeah. You seem to like it. I also we played like StarCraft and Atari and Civilization.
You played like hardcore games. Those were the intellectual games of that era.
I still love to play Civilization.
It's a great game.
I can't because it's like you sit me down in front of Civ 5.
Yeah.
And 18 hours will pass.
Really?
Like, I no longer require sleep.
I've been playing Fall Guys with Hank, and it is really interesting to see Hank go into the mode of, I'm playing this video game now, and he will play Fall Guys until you take the controller away from him.
And then I will want it back so bad.
Yeah.
When you were playing Fall Guys and I was watching you, I was like,
were very patient.
I was like sitting on my hands.
Oh, you did a great job.
I would never have
known.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
When you were trying to jump through those rings, I was like, I could kill at this.
There was one moment where I wanted to grab the controller from you.
Yeah,
I was like, I know what to do. But of course I didn't, which is why neither of us have ever won Fall Guys.
I got second twice today.
I know. It was tough.
It was so close.
You were so close. It's heartbreaking. But you know what? I was going to say, there's always tomorrow, but in fact, you're going home, so there isn't tomorrow.
No.
But this is going to blow your mind. Fall Guys is available on all devices.
You can
put it on your iPad.
I really can't.
Yeah, you can't.
Because right. I know where that leads.
Yeah, you got to do work.
Yeah.
But I might. I might stop writing this book and just
become a Fall Guys streamer.
Yeah, and then maybe like when I finish it, like when I'm 70, you know? And people will be like, why did it take you 50 years between books? And I'll be like, well, 50 years. That imagines that I'm 20. Why did it take you 30 years? 20. Why was it 16 years between books? And I'll be like, just this book. It really, really took it out of me. I had to pour my whole self into it, like Joyce writing Finnegan's Wake.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll know the truth, which is that I just played
a lot of Fall Guys.
I'm one of the best Fall Guys players in the world. The irony is that if I played Fall Guys for 10,000 hours, I would still be pretty bad, because that's just who I am.
Yeah, I'm a lot better than the current class of people we're playing against.
Yeah.
Because Fall Guys, the characters, the sort of we're quite new.
Yeah.
But I'm sure
there's a whole nother level of Fall Guys.
There's a level of Fall Guys.
We haven't even glimpsed
where
yet.
I fall. And that's where I don't make it past the first round every single time.
That's right.
And I don't want to know about that level.
No.
I never want to be faced with that level.
I don't really want to be that good at anything. I don't want to be with the top of the top of the top.
It's too hard.
It's so stressful.
I love being one of the top 10% of people who can play guitar because
let me correct you.
Not if top 10% of guitar players.
No. Let me correct you again.
Okay.
You're the top 10% among all Americans at playing guitar.
Yes.
You're not the top 10% of people who play guitar.
No.
Yes.
No, so, bottom 50%.
But of all the Americans, 85% can't play the guitar.
Yes.
5% are worse than you.
Yes. Exactly. I think that's the way to be.
Yeah. I totally agree. I don't want to
dilettante.
Know. Yes.
It's just another word for Renaissance man.
I want to be medium good at a lot of things. And also, when I get medium good at something, I tend to get pretty bored with it. And I tend to think, is there something else that I could get medium good at?
Yeah.
Because I once you get to that place, you realize how hard it will be to be one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being one of the best in the world is way before it gets fun. And I think that you should do something until it's fun. And then you can always have that fun thing there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like juggling.
I'd love to be able to play harmonica.
Some people really get a lot of joy and pleasure and meaning from that, from going from
better.
Being able to juggle three things to being able to juggle 17
or
whatever.
Getting better. You always see the next challenge on the horizon.
And it's always thrilling.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. Yeah. I am very grateful for people who go deep and I benefit from their expertise every day.
Yeah.
It's just really hard for me personally to go deep. I remember that moment, and there's almost something unpleasant about it to me, because I remember the moment when, you know, all these people were telling me, you know, you have the best-selling book in the world and you need to be making movies, and you need to be why aren't you writing another novel? And I would be I'm not writing another novel because this is very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
This is not desirable. I'm fascinated by people like Tom Cruise, because Tom Cruise became the most famous movie star in the world and then continued to want that. Which I don't understand. I understand almost everything.
But now don't you know how bad it is?
Exactly. It's John Cougar Mellencamp, the great Indianapolis songsmith. I do like rock music.
At least that one.
I listened to John Cougar Mellencamp's new album, and I was like, this is good. I appreciate this. I'm not going to put it on my Crash Course playlist, but I like it. It's good. He said, he still lives in Indiana. He lives on a, a farm, and seems like has a pretty normal life, except that he's
John Cougar Mellencamp.
And he said in an interview, I've been all the way up to the top of the mountain, and there ain't nothing up there worth having. And that's kind of how I feel. Up there, there's very little oxygen in the air.
Yeah.
It's pretty stressful.
Yeah.
And yes, you made it to the top of the mountain, but I'm not sure there's anything up there worth having.
I did a college event in Ohio last week, and one of the students asked, how do I define success? Which is
a great question.
And I said, you never believe it until you get there, and I hope you all get there. But when you get there, you find out that success doesn't exist. And a person in the crowd, who I think was either faculty or staff, literally pumped his fist at me, which made me very happy. Because, of course, he maybe has had more life experience than the kids in the audience.
Yeah.
But to him, that really rang true. And I think and I got a little bit of a whoop.
But I think I think you're right that I would never have felt that, or maybe it would have been much harder for me to feel that without.
And there is something that you're seeing when you're mostly I experience success, my own success, through the eyes of other people.
Yeah.
And what that means is, this isn't what we think success is. What you're experiencing is status, societal status.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that does exist very
that
much.
That exists very much. And also, like, there's something like making your mom proud. Like,
yeah.
You know, like pleasing the people who you want to please because you want to please them.
Yeah, having people you respect respect you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all very valuable. And of course, like, money is very valuable.
Yes.
But the need to like hold on to it.
There's no thing there. There's not no a thing there. You can put on the shelf.
It's that great Emily Dickinson poem. And the fact that Emily Dickinson wrote this without ever having a modicum of success in her own life is like speaks, I think, to her extraordinary ability to understand the human condition from a variety of perspectives. Success is counted sweetest by those who ne'er succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is most valued in the wanting of it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Like a lot of things.
Yeah, what is it? Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah, that's usually true.
That's Emily Dickinson, too. It's actually Demily Dickinson said that one.
She's a really good poet. Good old Demily. I got to make sure she actually said that. She did.
Behind the curtain, John constantly Googles the quotes he quotes.
I do. Because
you
I don't want
to... sure.
I'm not trying to... I'm not trying to spread misinformation, to go back to the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah, Rebecca Thomas once wrote, Hank Green, 16, is believed to have hidden in the zoo since its closing with the intention of sneaking out the following morning.
That's a good line.
It's a Rebecca Thomas line.
That's a really... Again, it's a great... Fake.
Yeah, the reason I knew it was fake...
mostly because you remember...
I stole a lemur from
remember
the zoo.
Not stealing a lemur.
Yeah, I don't know why nobody else could figure that out.
But let me submit that as good as that Rebecca Thomas Orlando Sentinel article is, how good is a deep fake going to be when Hank Green in a Hank Green TikTok says, I stole a lemur from the zoo when I was 16 and here's the story time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've already been there a bit.
Yeah, but we're not like we're going to go there.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming to our party. there is a little bit of news from AFC Wimbledon. We won a football game, which was very exciting, while Hank and I were away.
Oh, did you?
Not
that,
to,
that
no,
game?
No, not oh. today. Oh. Thanks for asking, Hank. No, today we got pummeled. Oh. But we did win. And after we got pummeled today, very generously, the coach of the opposing team said, and I'm quoting him directly here, they're a good young side. I think they'll be fine. That's our goal. We just want to be fine this season.
We just want to be a fine, good young side.
We just want to be good enough. We are 17th in the table at the moment, which is not great. We are only 4 points above the relegation zone, but we did win a football game, and we came from behind to win it, which made me really happy.
Mm-hmm.
We were down 1-0 to Colchester United, who are very bad this season. And furthermore, the goal that we were down 1-0 to was scored by former AFC Wimbledon player Kwesi Appiah.
Yeah.
And then we came back, and Josh Davidson, our new 22-year-old striker with a ponytail, scored 2 goals. And we won 2-1, and that is why we are in 17th and not, like, 20th.
All right.
Yep.
Well, good. Just don't get relegated.
That's the job for this season.
In news from Mars, I don't have anything. I think that they also are rooting for AFC Wimbledon up there.
Especially Perseverance.
Yeah.
Because that is the fundamental thing that AFC Wimbledon fans must have.
We're not.
I was thinking, I tweeted about this, but I've been thinking about how we often fly past the good moments in our lives and often kind of dwell upon the negative ones. That's a survival technique. It makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
Evolutionarily, whatever. But like being a Wimbledon fan has taught me that we're going to win less than we lose. We're going to lose more than we win. And so... we had better enjoy the wins, because otherwise, every Saturday, I'm going to feel terrible, except for the Saturdays when I feel nothing. And I don't want to live that life.
Yeah.
I want to live a life where I feel joy on the rare Saturdays when we win, and on the Saturdays where we lose, I say, well, guess we'll try again next week.
Right.
And then we feel a little sad.
So take some time with the good times. Write them down and put them in a jar.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
put them on your shelf.
I like that idea.
It's a good one.
And then open them up when you need them.
It's a good thing to have.
I've never done that. That's a great idea. Hank saved the actual advice for the very end of the podcast.
Yeah.
So thank you, Hank,
for making... If you stuck around.
Thanks for making the pod with me, Hank. Thanks to everybody for listening. And we'll be back next week answering your questions. We just wanted to try something a little different this week.
This podcast may or may not have been edited by Joseph Tuna Medish.
I hope he put in at least a couple bleeps.
And et cetera. I don't have all my notes together today.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.